Lord, we had asked a very special favor that your Holy Spirit would invade our gathering together and that your person would just be seen and felt and understood, and pray as we just read through the scriptures that you could teach each one of us wherever we are, whatever position in life and whatever we're going through. And Lord, we know that prophecy is difficult for people. They don't want to really hear it because it makes them accountable and it makes them have to make some decisions if they're going to be spiritual Christians or carnal Christians. So I pray for these that are here before you, Lord. They've made a choice, many of them. They haven't missed anything, but that you would use them as we are getting so close to your return. We would pray that you would help us understand about this invasion from Russia and then about the rebuilding of the temple as a sign of your return and your return, and just the reason you had a temple and its dimensions and everything about it. Above all, Lord, I pray a blessing of the Holy Ghost upon these people. There is so much deception in Christianity, Lord, and you know it, and it breaks your heart. And so we ask that we could just rise above whatever is going on in our city, in our county, in our country. And we pray that we could be servants that humbly bow before you and that love you, and we confess our sins to you, and we tell you, we know we're weak, but we want to be used, Lord. We want to be used to help people that are lost come into the light and be cleansed from all the pain and the suffering and the agony of their lives and the sins that they have committed. May you bless us and let your love pour out like a waterfall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel 38. We looked at the 38th chapter of Ezekiel and some of the highlights we circled were in verse 2, Gog. We wanted to know about Gog and then Magog. And that was the chief prince. He was the leader of a country. And Magog, he talks about the prince being the prince of Gog, the prince of Meshech, the land of Magog, and Tubal. And so we realize that is the geographic area on the maps, old and new, of Russia, and that there would be some coalition we looked at that would come from verse 5 with their swords, and there are groups of people that love to use the sword. Persia, which is Iran today, Ethiopia, and Libya, and of course Libya has Omar Gaddafi, and his Muslim hatred for the Jews has been shown over and over, and President Ronald Reagan gave an order that a U.S. military jet, some of you were too young to remember this, back in the 80s, and this military jet unleashed a bomb, and the bomb was guided, apparently, right into his tent, and it sent a message. And being tough sends a message, and he backed off on the world scene of killing Jews and hijacking ships and finding Jews that were on tours, like on the Achilles lorry, and took that crippled Jewish man that was in a wheelchair, couldn't even defend himself, and the terrorists just shoved him over in front of everybody. So these people are all wicked, evil people, and they're getting together again at the very end, and Russia is going to assemble. What originally, up until the 80s, when Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Reagan met, and Billy Graham had an instrumental part, I think, in changing the whole world scene when he was actually there and meeting with Mr. Gorbachev and trying to explain Jesus to him. And they brought the Berlin Wall down as a symbol, and then the Russian, the USSR, the Union, Soviet republics were all gathered together. Now they are all Muslim nations, and Russia is Russia by itself. But all of this is going to come back together, and we see it coming back together. And was it just 14 months ago, 16 months ago, that Russia, the Russian army, went into the country of Georgia unannounced and started to take over land, and the Georgians fought them? And it was really a thing about not wanting the control of this wicked spirit that hates God, and God is going to deal with Russia, because it's something between he and the Lord. You live in this time that what we're going to finish off here is taking place. And that should shake you to your roots, that what in the world am I doing with my life? Why do I exist? What purposes does God have for me? Now, I just got off an airplane, and I'm kind of tired, so if I fall off the stage or fall asleep, you'll forgive me, right? But I got on the airplane right after the second Sunday service, so it's been like 20-hour days right up to this moment. A friend of ours just got elected last night in Oregon to be the Republican candidate for the governorship of Oregon. And he only decided in December and made an announcement that he was going to run. But he felt that he should run. He used to go to church here, and his family lived in La Jolla. And to go up to my hometown, Portland, where I'm from, and to be escorted around and see how filthy and how wicked the city is underneath what you don't see, and to meet with some people unrelated to him becoming governor was very, very awesome and amazing. And to find out about the slave trade that's going on in America and the young women from teenagers on down, it's just sickening, disgusting. I've been behind the scenes on this for a while, but now I got some front-hand stuff. And our country, there's no reason that we're alive, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be quite honest with you. I'll be really honest with you. The underbelly of San Diego is one of the most wicked places in the country. And the slave trade, just in Oregon, I was told about 333 teenagers in the suburb of where Nike is, Beaverton. 333 teenagers under 18 years old that are emancipated. They have no mom or dad. The government has let them go free. And most of these kids are sex tools for perverts. And this is happening across the United States because the drug cartels have realized that it is easier to kidnap a 14 or 15-year-old girl out of a mall. And the press doesn't let us know about it unless somebody makes a lot of noise. And this commodity of this one person can be used over and over and over and make them more money than crack cocaine or something where they have the DEA hunting them down. And then they hide it as gentlemen's clubs and strips clubs and adult bookstores. And it's sick. It's just really sick. And God's going to wipe us out. And I want to help rescue as many as I can before this last hour. And this last chapter of Ezekiel, the chapters come up, is that God's finally fed up with these countries that have always tried to wipe out Israel. America has turned, and in the last few days, I guess our local administration in Washington is saying, well, maybe we haven't been treating Israel exactly the way they should be treated. Thank you. Because it's God's country, we've been reading, and he's going to wipe out everybody that messes with her, and we better, for there's no other reason for us to be around if we turn, but all nations will turn against her. But I'm beginning to get the feeling that we are going to see this one last sweep of evangelism and people coming to the Lord. The rapture is going to happen, and we will implode and totally collapse as a historical, viable nation, and there will be no power to fight these scenes that we're going to read about right now. I hope that's what's going to happen. I hope it's not going to happen that we are dealt with and just gone because everybody kept living their way. Would you just consider that the Lord's speaking to you and that he wants to use you in a powerful way? In a powerful way? He just wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to walk with you, and he wants to talk with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to use you to help other people. Any of you here see a movie called Taken with Liam Neeson? Very disturbing movie, to say the least. It was about an ex-CIA operative that his daughter got kidnapped and put into the sex slave trade. And he uses all of his skills from his experiences to track down the actual people. And his daughter gets rescued at the end, and he wipes out several people in several cities and countries trying to save his daughter. It's a real story. It's a true story. And the sad thing is that the daughter in real life did not get rescued. And she was put into the sex trade. And she and three girls just were graduated from school, and they wanted to travel, and they went to Thailand, and the train was stopped, and men came on and took the teenage girls. And this dad in real life was Green Beret. Liam Nielsen portrayed him, I think, as a CIA agent or something. And this real-life daddy went to 11 different countries to try to find his daughter. And he started in the jungles of Asia with the warlords and the heroin kings of the world. And that trip took him all the way around the world to right across our border. They ultimately, she broke out of the brothel that they finally had her in, and she ran up to a policeman and said, "I was kidnapped with my girlfriend several months ago. They've injected us with heroin. We're just toys." And the policeman said, "Oh, but he was on the take, and he was part of it, and he took him back. And what they did to this man's daughter, you would understand why he would be wanting to hurt people." I had lunch with him this week, face to face. And to hear what is going on, just in that area, not other areas that have made me want to vomit. There's no reason that America is standing today. I don't care how pretty it looks on American Idol or what is being portrayed as real life. We're at full-blown war, and the planet is losing it, and God's going to interject. Get your life before Him and just see what He has for you. Okay. That's from your grandfather just telling you some worldly stuff, okay? All right, so we looked at Russia comes down against poor little Israel. "Thus saith the Lord God," verse 10 in chapter 38, and "this day it shall come to pass that your thoughts will arise in your mind. You'll make an evil plan. You'll say, hey, let's go up against this land of unwalled villages." So it has to be some sort of a time when there's a peace accord with the Muslims and the Israelis. And of course, that's what they're fighting for right now, is to get some sort of peace accord. But it looks like there's no defense for Israel. So maybe like 3 weeks ago when our president said we'll get rid of 50% of our nuclear weapons if Russia will get rid of theirs, which was a poor trade-off because ours are in good shape. And most of the Russians have got into it. I'm not a physicist, but like they just don't have what they used to have. There's a time life to these things. So we are surrendering our weapons, and we're surrendering our troops, and we're surrendering our banking and our automotive industries, and we're just turning everything over to one man that has come in out of nowhere that has never, ever accomplished anything. He's never held a job. They can't find his birth certificate. He's got so many pictures on the internet of him in Muslim garb and actually stops the National Day of Prayer and doesn't have the presidential prayer breakfast, but at the same time brought the Muslims to the White House and had prayer time with them. We live in a very weird time. Something will arise in their mind. And so God, when He brings judgment, He even goes against people with their reasoning. When He's ready to judge and His wrath is going to be unleashed, when He wiped out nations in the Old Testament, He was in charge. And people said, what a mean God. He wipes out all these people. Yeah, but when you do even a history study, let alone a biblical study, you find out that these were sacrificers of children. These were devil worshipers. These were wicked, evil people. And God was saying, I want a holy people to come into Canaan. And when these holy people come in, totally submitted to me, and the bad seed is destroyed, then the good seed should prosper and spread around the world. They failed. We've read nothing but failure. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel on Sunday mornings, they failed. So God raised up the church to be the good seed. Now the church has got so much bad seed in it that people claim to be Christians, but they're living such carnal lives, they're not living a life of sacrifice, that Jesus said that if any man come after me, let him deny himself. And that's the Christian walk, self-denial. Pick up his cross daily and follow after me. And most Christians just can't see that because they're too busy with their lives. So here we come at the end of this great historical country, Russia. And he mentions this, and when they come to take a plunder, there's some sort of a voice that is spoken from the United Nations, maybe, or just some coalitions of countries that are saying, hey, we weren't expecting this. What are you doing coming down out of the north? Look at verse 12. You will say, I'll go up, I'll plunder the people to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are gained inhabited against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods. And I repeat the name of this book again. Two business guys from Harvard, and it's called The Upstart Nation. It's published by the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an independent agency that helps control the world behind the scenes. But these two guys wrote so well, it's hard to put down, and it is about business. But The Upstart Nation, I shared the little video clip from YouTube with you, unrelated to the book. But Israel is in a place where God said it would be, that he would be inside and making it powerful. And you know, it's the number two nation in the world for outer space exploration and equipment, and next to the USA. And they have more upstart IPOs and little companies on our NASDAQ than any other country in the world next to us. And there's this power that God has given these people in your lifetime that is just getting ready to be unleashed when the enemies come against it. God's going to unleash something that the world doesn't even know that it exists. So, you will ascend like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and you and all of your troops and many people with you. So thus saith the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. And I just bumped into people that told me about evil plans at so many levels of society this week that I can't believe. You will say, I'll go up against the land of unwalled villages and plunder it. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions. And this is what many Bible teachers believe is the only mention of America. Tarshish being the word for Great Britain. And in Tarshish is where the Britannia has that word in it that comes from into our English for tin. It was a supplier of tin to Europe. And when Jonah went off to Tarshish, many believe that he was heading out of the Mediterranean on a ship to get so far away from going to Nineveh that he was going to England, basically. And so the young lions, of course, the lion, we have the eagle as our logo. When you think of America, it's the red, white, and blue and the eagle. And England has the lion. A young lion, they believe, is a King James way, poetic way of saying an offspring of England. Now, that's just one tributary of thought. But if it is, it's the young lions, we'd be a spinoff for any British colony that has its own strength now. They are so weak that they can't use their weapons to fight Russia and these Muslim countries that come into Israel. They sort of make a protest at United Nations saying, what are you doing? That's the only strength that it shows that we'd have. Otherwise, it would say there was this great nation from the West that came down with power and destroyed this evil empire. But there's no power to do it. So this is very important for all of you, that the Lord is going to deal with us as a country. And he has every right to. And ultimately, the Bible says that you will judge the demons, the fallen angels. Do you know that? That his children are going to be the ones that stand there and say, yes, 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 lake of fire. Now think of this. Well, maybe you don't want to think of this. Your teenage years, you probably don't want to think of your teenage years. But think just for a moment of pain and heartache and problems that you're growing up, and maybe your mom and dad went through a divorce, and just things that you don't talk about, but you know they're there and they come back in your mind, and they just are kind of rough for you. And maybe they've even caused you to make the decisions that get you exactly where you are in your life today as an adult. And yet the Lord was with you, watching over you all that time. And one of the great things is you find out that you've been forgiven for your mistakes and that you're washed, you feel cleansed, you feel free, and you can go forward. Well, when God starts working in your life, he goes inside and he starts judging. And let's say that you have a foul mouth and you swear a lot or use dirty words, or you're a man and you're just disrespectful of women and you don't care what you say in front of a woman or who she is even. And then all of a sudden you find out that your language has changed. And maybe you had lusts of your flesh that just drove you. I mean, you just drove you to the weekends. And then you wake up one day and you realize, I'm really content with who I am. I don't need to prove myself. I'm not in competition with the rest of the crowd. And I don't care what my hair looks like today. I don't care if I forgot my deodorant. You're living in the Lord. You're just happy, and you're at peace. Well, nations get so full of themselves that unless they repent as a nation, then he has to start judging with them. We are full of ourselves as a nation, like Russia is at the end here. And unless my people that are called by my name will seek my face and pray and confess their sins, that's a big unless. And I really believe it could just be you and me, that we start here and you bump into somebody and then they say, I'm repenting, I'm turning. But if you just sit around and just be a Christian and, oh, I go to church when I want to, I give some tithe here and there, that's not a tithe. That's like dropping something in a salvation bucket. I could just sit here with a bell and ring it. And if some of you want to put something in the bucket, wonderful. That's really to the glory of God, isn't it? Okay, so we're in the middle of a war, and we've got all these weirdos that are controlling everything, and they pour their money and their lives into it to destroy your lives and your children's lives and your boyfriend's lives and your girlfriend's lives and your mom's and your dad's and your uncle's and your cousin's. We just sit back and let them do it at all different levels of our society instead of getting up early in the morning and getting on our knees and praying and begging God to have mercy on our souls before we ever beg him to have mercy on somebody else's soul. So we're at that place right now, at that juncture, and we'll see it for ourselves right here with Russia and all these Muslim countries. Therefore, son of man, prophesy against them. And they say, what are you doing coming against us? So his fury in verse 18 will show in my face, for I am my jealousy, and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. And surely in that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, beasts of the field, creeping things, and also the creeps, that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Now, there are other scriptures we looked at. For instance, Isaiah, if you've never read that 47th chapter of Isaiah, it actually, if you were in physics, you would recognize the possibility of a polar axis shift. And scientists say that maybe every 5,600 years, that's why we have ice on our poles, and why there was Ice Age and Out of Madagascar and all those other cartoon movies, is because it flipped upside down and life was changed. Well, Isaiah prophesied at the last days that the earth would wobble to and fro like a drunkard and be removed out of its place. It would get an earth wobble, and scientists tell us today we're in an earth wobble. We're within probably hundreds of milliseconds off the rotation we should be. But he says, all right here, everybody, this one earthquake, every creature, the fish in the sea, everybody knows that something is going to happen. Now, we're told in Revelation that one day that an earthquake in the middle of all this horrible stuff going on, 7,000 people will die in that small town of Jerusalem in one day from an earthquake. We're told when the Lord Jesus comes back that when his right foot sets on the Mount of Olives, that it's going to split in half, and that all of a sudden, there's going to be this rift in this valley, and that he's going to come down the mountain and he's going to walk across the Kidron Valley and he's going to go up the side and enter into the East Gate. We're going to read about the East Gate. The East Gate was always sealed. The wall you see in Jerusalem today isn't the original wall. There's been other walls there that over the years, as empires have come in and the Jews have restored, they came in and rebuilt the wall. But everyone that built the wall always sealed the East Gate. And you can go on the internet and say East Gate, Old Jerusalem, and you will see the archway of the gate, which is huge, but you'll see blocks in there. And God mysteriously has kept that gate, when Jaffa Gate, the Dung Gate, over David's Citadel, all these gates where you can go in and out of Old Jerusalem today and do business or just be a tourist, they're all wide open. But this one is going to be broken open because of an earthquake. And all that's going to fall down, and the Messiah is going to walk in through that gate. And you can look today and see that it is sealed. So this earthquake that is coming is not just going to be the San Andreas Fault slipping in the Coachella Valley, where we just were. And it's one of the reasons we were there, is to help prepare the people for what's going to happen there. It's not just an earthquake that's going to be the San Andreas going from the Coachella up to Alaska and right through the heart, basically, of San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's going to be something so powerful that the fish in the sea are rumbled by it, and the birds in the air. Birds, if you're in the air, why would an earthquake bother you? This is horrible what's going to come. And it's going to happen at a time when the politic of world government can be seen. You have eyes to see. And you can just open up a newspaper or turn on the news and see the politic of Ezekiel is in your lifetime right now. There is judgment coming to not just these enemies of Israel, but to the enemies of God. And this is not a time to be on the dark side with Chewbacca or any of the crew, you know, Yoda, or, you know, you need to get into the light and walk in the light as he is in the light. So his fury is going to be there. The animal kingdom is going to be shook up. I will call for a sword against the leader throughout all my mountains, and every man's sword will go against his brother. So some sort of, I think it's chemical or biological, because they're starting to kill each other. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence. So that could be CBN, chemical, biological, or nuclear. And bloodshed. And I will rain down on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Now that looks like the nuclear part of it. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. Now we've already seen that all through Ezekiel, he always shows this judgment prophetically that he's looking forward, but he ends the judgment with, so that they will know that I am the Lord. So there's a little bit of a noise here, but God says, ultimately, I'm going to magnify myself. And so, son of man, prophesy against this Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, prince of Russia, Meshach, Tubal. I'll turn you around. I'm going to lead you on, bringing you up from the far north. And if you look on a map, the far north from Jerusalem bumps right into Meshach or Moscow, because the Muscovites had moved from that area of Magog into Meshach. And Meshach was the capital area. And the Muscovites were called the Muscovies. And now in modern days, it's Moscow. And he says it here before we even have it defined, that directly north of you from Jerusalem. And that's who it is. So he says, I will knock the bow out of your hand. So God's going to enter into the war in the Middle East that's coming shortly. You're going to fall. You're going to die basically on the mountains of Israel. You and all your troops and the people who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort of the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open fields, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. Surely, verse 8, it is coming. It shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day which I have spoken of. Down to verse 11, chapter 29. It'll come to pass in that 39. It'll come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place here in Israel. So he's going to set aside some land that is going to be used to bury bodies. It's going to be called the Valley of Those Who Pass by the East of the Sea. So it'll be from the Mediterranean Sea, somewhere back towards the Golan Heights or going down to Jordan. It will obstruct travelers. Otherwise, this land is going to make people go around and the highway will have to be changed or whatever, because there they will bury Gog and his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Ham and Gog. And for 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. So something is in the bodies, chemical, biological, or nuclear, CBN, they call it in the military. Something has come into Israel and been sprayed on or dropped on, or, you know, just summer before last, they went in and dropped a tactical nuke in Syria, and nobody's paying any attention, and it's not top secret news. They have weaponry that could take out any enemy that comes to them. Thousands of missiles have been taken by Hamas, and they're in Lebanon right now. There are more missiles that the Hamas, Hezbollah, and all these people have against little Israel than many countries have in their full arsenals. It's an amazing thing, and they're hitting them 3,000-4,000 times the last 2 years, and we're not hearing a thing about it. And God is protecting them with these thousands of missiles that have been pounding all over Israel. And now North Korea and Iran are linked up, and Russia's linked up, and they've got missiles now that could take the weaponry, and they can reach Europe now, and they're working on one to reach us. They'll start with Europe and move, but they've selected the countries because of the Muslim population in certain of the countries are off limits. But if there's any Christian stronghold left in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you name it, throughout Europe, they're on the grids to be hit. Jesus Christ is an offense to the enemies of God. And the cross, we are told by St. Paul, would be an offense. And so many Christians say they're Christians, but they're an offense to God because they're living dual lives. We should be so frightening to every demon in San Diego, for every drug lord and every pervert and every filthy, foul spirit that the San Diego Police Department has to deal with every day and every night, in and out. And it should be you and me with our light shining so brightly. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And he turned around and said, "You are the light of the world," to his disciples. "Let your light so shine that men see your lights and give glory to God." I mean, is your life giving glory to God, I guess, is the bottom line for each one of us. It doesn't mean that we have to be famous or be doing huge works. Are we being to the glory of God by being a daddy or being a mommy or helping our son get through college or just being good people, helping people that can't help themselves? Are our lives being lived to the glory of God that people will look at the good works and say, that lady is just amazing. That man, you should see his work ethic. First here every day, last every night to leave. Man, and they've taken cuts and pays. And there's so much you can do with your life just by living it with him and letting it just flow. So for 7 months, whatever happens in Israel that's coming very soon, they will have special teams that will bury these bodies. And the word to cleanse the land isn't necessarily speaking like the Levitical law that if you eat some pork or some dietary thing that you don't do correctly. It is talking about cleansing it because there's contamination. And so 7 months it takes. We are told through these chapters that 5/6 of the invading armies of Russia are going to die on the mountains of Israel. 5/6, this powerful, once more powerful, but nation thinks it's going to do something when the Americans that are asleep and perverted have no more power from their government or their military. They think they're going to step in now and no big brother to defend little Israel, but God is going to defend, and God has already defended you and me through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's going to come to pass for 7 months. It'll take that. They'll set apart men, verse 14, regularly employed. So if you're looking for a job, regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining in the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they'll make another search. The search parties will pass through the land. When anyone sees a man's bone, even a bone. Now remember, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we looked at chapter 37. He said, "Ezekiel, what do you see?" And he says, "I see bones." And then the bones came alive, and those bones became the nation of Israel. Now, even one bone that had some staph infection that was left over from whatever it was, or just some chemical, some bird flu, avian bird flu, or just something that's floating, or just from nuclear waste and radiation, just a bone. After they've cleansed the land, there will be specialists that will be looking under the dirt, behind rocks. There'll be anything that could be a remnant of that old nature that was there is going to be buried. It's going to come to pass at the search party, we'll see a man's bone. He'll set up a marker. So like a little flag will be placed in the ground. He'll set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hammon Gog. The name of the city will also be called Hammon. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And as for you, son of man, speak to every sort of bird, to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves. Come, gather together from all sides of my sacrificial meal. I will be sacrificing for you the meal on the mountains that you may eat the flesh, drink the blood. And otherwise, he's saying when these armies of the Muslims and the Russians combined come, he's telling all the birds, all the animals that listen to him, you can eat all the flesh you want. You can drink all the blood you want of these bodies that are dead here. So it's a sign. And he says, you shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men, and with all the men of war, says the Lord God. Verse 21, I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed. So everybody's going to see that little Israel was defended by God, not by the USA. And he gets glory for that. They will see my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity and because they were unfaithful to me. They were unfaithful to me as a nation, but a nation is made up of individuals. And individuals can be unfaithful And I know many of you have pressures. Don't kill yourself with those pressures. Let the old nature die. Take yourself to the cross. I am crucified with Christ, St. Paul said in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives inside of me. And the life I now live in this flesh, walking along, selling a car, doing business, eating food, talking to your friends, going to a party, the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He realized he was a vessel that Jesus could possess and go and reveal his light through his good works, and that people could have eternal life by seeing his life. Now think of this. Paul tells us throughout the book of Acts, he had a rough life, but he said, I was shipwrecked. I was in the sea for 3 days and three nights. I have been stoned. Not puffing. Guys throwing rocks on him. I've been stoned, three times? I've had 39 stripes. That's what Jesus had. 39 stripes, three different times. And that was only not because he was a criminal. That was because he preached Jesus to the Jews. And he went on, he said, I've had this happen. I've been in prison. I've been beaten. I've lost my friends. I've lost my health. I spent 3 days and three nights in a shipwreck floating around the sea. You remember he ended up on an island with those local Aborigines, and he reached to get a fire to help the soldiers and the people that survived that shipwreck. And he grabbed some wood to put up and make a fire, and a poisonous asp, a poisonous snake, grabbed a hold of him and bit him. And he just shook it like that and threw the snake down. Poison didn't bother him.
To love and let his Holy Ghost drench you.
People were in awe. The whole tribe came to know the Lord Jesus because of one man's faith. But how did he get near death? He got near death by trying to serve people. And he gives this big list in the Bible of all the trials and tribulations that he's gone through. The many nights that were sleepless nights and the hours in prisons where he is tortured and forced to not eat and everything. And then he says, besides this, I had the daily care of the churches. Gee whiz, just to be a pastor of one congregation is enough and to go through trials. But he's saying, look, what's happened to me, but still my heart is for the Christian people and all those pastors that I've trained that are around this part of the world, I still care for them. And Jesus and the body of Christ is my heart. You know, the Bible says that the bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. So for the return of Jesus Christ, the church has to get herself ready. She's prepared herself. A minister can't get you ready. A pastor can't get you ready. If you're going to be the bride, you have to get yourself dressed. And if you're going to be the groom, you go rent that tux, you get yourself dressed. You may be in the same room with your bridesmaid or your groomsman getting dressed together into your new outfit, but you have to do it yourself. This is a time when the church, be it this church, quote-unquote congregation, this group of people, or the one down the street that says Baptist, or the one that's United Presbyterian, or the Catholic one, or the Charismatic one, or the Pentecost, whatever, the body of Christ worldwide is to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And so this is your hour to get ready. He's coming back, but you have to make the changes. Now think of this. Our city, here's the premier world-renowned evangelist who I've known for many years. That doesn't make me famous or anything. I'm just saying he's an honest man. He's a godly man. And I stood with him in Vietnam side by side. And he's coming to San Diego. And he's trying to mobilize. He had 185,000 people in Portland, Oregon for the City Fest. 185,000 people along the Willamette River outside. His team has been here for over a year. They've been meeting with the churches. And do you know how much money it costs to gather everything, put everything together? They've got 3,300 identified needs in the county of San Diego by the county supervisors and by the city council members, needs that the county are saying, here are people that are so poor and we have no money to help them. Here are projects that the Christian people from the churches of San Diego, we will open the door. I've been in the meetings with the mayor there. All right, here's what we'll do. I'll give you this guy. But we have no money, and we don't really want to endorse a Christian event, but we know who you are. We know who Mike is. We will trust you that you will do this thing. And look at the door that is open for our city. Look at this. And they're going to do it right on Freeway 5, next to the Hilton Hotel, with all that acreage next to the beach, that people driving by will see the final big three-day thing with the thousands of people there, and they'll say, what's going on with Stephen Curtis Chapman and you name Third Day? All the bands are going to be there. And our city has a chance right now. But I'm going to a luncheon tomorrow because none of the churches have given that they are talking about. They may not do this. Or that they may have to borrow the money to help San Diego to win souls. It's a heartbreak from where I sit. And I know how rough things are, but it's only a sign of the times. And God is giving San Diego an opportunity for a huge mass evangelism. A huge one where tens of thousands of people in our city by the end of September could be born again and have a new start in life, let alone in heaven. And the Christians and the pastors are not responding. Don't fall asleep. Don't let your Christian friends sit around that I hear. Those of you that are in your 20s and 30s and you've got a new theology that you sit around and you drink your beers together and you talk about Jesus together and you pray while you're drinking your wine. Please, don't be carnal. There's a war raging, and if it's for one 12-year-old girl. I have a young woman that went to school of evangelism that lived with us. When our kids were all small, she was a nanny for us. I knew her family. I knew her problems. I hadn't seen her after the school of evangelism. She married a guy. I did the wedding. I was a little reluctant to. She disappeared for a few years, and I ran into her a few days ago, and she's so skinny and anorexic. She's the most beautiful girl, just a body that was just, any guy was lusting after, and I'd have to beat a few guys up that would come to my house to say, hey, I'm here to take out. And I said, no, you're not. Get off my porch. And she'd say, well, who is that? And I said, you don't need to know. I mean, it wasn't fair of me, but she's been a strip dancer. And she's part of organized crime, and they'll kill her if she leaves. Here in San Diego, she sat in these services with us, reading her Bible. She prayed. I've known her since she was 15 years old. And now she has such big circles under her eyes, and she's so anorexic, and she's so afraid that she is going to be found. Doesn't bother your heart? We've got to be broken. We've got to weep. Don't be one of those that the Bible talks about before Jesus comes back. They're going to fall away to the side. A great falling away is happening. I'm just telling you, as a fellow person, a person that's given the last 40 years of his life to try to tell truth, it is happening in our own church. Lukewarmness. No fire. No guts. No prayer. No giving. No going. No doing. Just a handful of you. Please, don't let entertainment Christianity grab you. Let the cross grab you and nail you. And start praying and crying over your heart that God would have mercy on you. I have been begging Him for 3 years, don't let me go to hell. Please, Jesus, will you let me into heaven? I just pray you will. There's no reason. And then He goes back, my grace is sufficient for you, Michael. It's nothing that you can do. I've already done it for you. Yes, but Lord, my heart is so dark and wicked. My mercy endures forever. If you've asked me into your life, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. But it doesn't mean that I couldn't leave Him and forsake Him with my free will. I don't want to be out in the darkness playing games for a little few moments of pleasure and Jesus shows up. Hello? Oh, I was having a bad day and I just thought I would comfort myself. No, please. Chapter 40. In the 25th year of our captivity, and we'll finish with this, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He took me there. In the visions of God, He took me in the land of Israel, and He set me on a very high mountain. And on it, towards the south, was something like the structure of a city. And He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes, hear with your ears, and fix your mind on everything I show you. Underline that. Look with your eyes, see what's going on in our city. Hear with your ears, and fix your mind on everything I show you. I could play right now a recording from a friend saying, Mike, Could you come, please, to a luncheon and explain to the pastors of your own city? They don't get it. Would you please talk to them? This is a man that I know had a meeting in Brazil with 1 million people standing in the crowd and 100 and some odd thousand human beings giving their life to Jesus Christ when he preached the gospel. He had more people than the Pope did that came to the same plaza. God has gifted him. He's 75 years old and he can run 60 miles. He's got so much energy. This guy, he just came back from France and somewhere else to come tomorrow to San Diego to try to help us salvage that somebody would care that souls would get saved on a mass scale. My own friends are saying, well, you know, if we do, my own friends that I sent out of this church, well, you know, it's just, we don't want to get our people involved with that. Guys that I discipled, that I turned over tens of thousands of people to, don't fall asleep on the Lord. Please don't. For your own sake and your own good. Pray and seek Him. He's got great and mighty things for you. And He's going to use you in a powerful, powerful way. Look with your eyes. Listen with your ears. Fix your mind on everything I show you. Get focus in your life. And realize it's about souls. Greater love has no man than this, that he'll lay his life down for his brothers. Now, it is easy to die for Jesus Christ. I mean, I've been in situations where it was sketchy. I wasn't sure I was going to come out of that room. I could tell you stories. I have to be 80 years old to tell all of them because everybody would be dead by that time. But I remember a man 400 pounds that was sent to me. And I was in the back of a liquor store, and that man filled the door. And I wasn't going to come out of that room until I told him how I got a phone number. And that phone call saved a human being's life and got them released. And somebody sent him, and I wasn't coming out of that room. And I looked like a toothpick next to this guy. I was looking at everything when he was talking. Can I get him in the groin, Lord? Can I get him in the ankle? Can I get his nose pushed up into to his brain there? Can I tickle his ear? What, can I bite him on the nose? Can I? What? He was too big for me. And I sat there just humbly, and he made a mistake. You see, from the lips proceed the abundance of the heart. When you listen to somebody, you know what they're really saying, even though they're not saying it. And he made one mistake, and I realized that he wasn't sent by anybody. He was just looking for $1 million for my life. And then I said, does your boss know that you're asking for $1 million to help me get other people out of trouble? No. And his body language changed. He stepped out of the doorway and he said, whatever you do, don't ever tell my boss. I've never told his boss, but I'm on the internet right now to the whole world. So I'm completely protected. I've got a stick and it's called the cross of Jesus Christ. And it allows me to go anywhere. Because there are souls that are perishing. And if you would just help me, help them, I'll try to be the most honest and pure man you'll ever know. But it is getting so dark, and it is so hard to keep getting up every morning when nobody else seems to care. And then you hear stories like the Green Beret Colonel telling you the agony he went through because of the filth that he knew. But then to hear that Jesus came to him and said, I forgive you, and you will see your daughter again. Please, some of you are sitting here without Bibles. Some of you don't pray, but God is calling you, and you can't duck him anymore. God, I pray for these men and women, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them in these evil, wicked days. You are saying to Gog, I've had enough with you, buddy. You're saying to the chief prince of Magog, to an entire nation, I've had enough of you. You are saying to all these countries that have hated Israel and spewed wickedness at them, I've had enough of all of you, and I am going to bring judgment. And Lord God, when you allowed Jesus to stand in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said to him, what is truth? How often we as people are as blind as him. Truth was standing right in front of him, and he didn't recognize it. He could have reached out and touched his nose and he didn't even know what truth was. And so I pray for everyone that is here tonight that is playing a game, Russian roulette in a sense, with their eternal soul. They think that they can live in the world, play with the world, and not get bit by the world. But they're going to. And some of them potentially will not make it. Would you please speak to them about the eternal value of their soul? And those that are good and love you and that are strong tonight that hear this plea, would they give more to you in their hearts in time of prayer? That they would just intercede. We don't know all the wickedness that goes on late at night in Torrey Pines and Black Beach. We don't know about all the witches and covens and all the filthy sex houses and bathhouses in our city of what goes on behind closed doors. We don't know who's being tortured right now or how many more beasts are roaming the jogging trails for young women to kill them and maliciously brutalize their sweet little bodies. We don't know all that. You do. The police know. Some people know. But Lord, we know it breaks your heart, and you just look to us to say, here I am, send me. Lord, where our city needs desperately salvation in the gospel, would you help this team that has worked for over a year to get a consensus that has invested so much to come, that the pastors would wake up in these arrogant pastors of big churches that think they're better because they don't believe in what this guy believes, or they don't want to be involved because they're afraid that the people of their church might give money to this instead of to their church. All the jealousies and the envies and the prides that make you sick on your throne, would you rebuke all the pastors, myself included, for being territorial or being anything other than in love with the people of this city? And may you bring salvation, Lord. May you, God, have mercy on our country. May you please protect every soldier, man and woman, that is out in the field somewhere. I thank you for the people that I know from this congregation that are watching on laptops in the mountains of Afghanistan. Thank you, Lord, for these young men that have gone out and asked for prayer for so many months and saying they may never come back to San Diego, but this has been the greatest experience of their life to find people like these people that are their friends and love them. I pray for all of us that we could be that brave and courageous to go undercover just for the souls of the people we live around. So please give us your power and your strength and that password of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Bless these people to see that they are your sons and daughters. They are royalty, that they are a royal priesthood, and that you have spared them of wickedness they're not even aware of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.